And RegBry 38 leaves from Sioux City on Sunday. This is Talk of Iowa. I'm Charity Nebbe. Last year on the ride, cameras rolled right along with the bicycles. That footage has become the documentary A Million Spokes. The movie follows a number of riders through the highs and lows of their week on the road. Some people are drawn to RegBry for the physical challenge. For others, it's an opportunity to have an adventure with family and friends. And there are those for whom it's a week-long rolling party. The film premieres in Sioux City on Friday night. And today we'll talk with the director and one of the producers of the film. We'll also meet our Talk of Iowa RegBry correspondent. And we want to hear from you. What draws you to RegBry? Tell us about your RegBry experiences and what the ride means to you after this news. This is Talk of Iowa on Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. The Register's annual Great Bike Ride Across Iowa will begin its 38th run on Sunday. About 8,500 riders will leave Sioux City on Sunday, traveling through Storm Lake, Algona, Clear Lake, Charles City, Waterloo, Manchester, and finishing next Saturday in Dubuque. On last year's ride, there were cameras rolling along with the bikes, and that footage has become the documentary A Million Spokes.
This is Iowa. And once every year, the great state welcomes bicycles. Lots of bicycles. This is RegBry.
I'm Chow Johnson, and this is my husband,
Charlie Johnson.
And we're both from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and we're riding RegBry for the first time.
Woo! I'm at 23 miles an hour! Oh my god, this is not good. Oh my god. Charlie?
This is just to see how I do on a 7-day bike ride across Iowa. With hills, in the sun, in the rain, with headwinds. And Charlie is hard.
Well, I got involved with RegBry because my wife is actually from Cedar Rapids, so I heard about RegBry from her.
He wouldn't tell you he wasn't supposed to do it, but he really wasn't supposed to do it, you know, because he completely tore his pectoral muscle.
That's a little bit of sound from the trailer for A Million Spokes. The RegBry documentary will premiere in Sioux City on Friday night. And with me today are two women involved in the production of the film. Varda Hardy is the director. She's on the line from California today. Hello, Varda.
Hello, Charity.
Thank you for being with us.
Of course.
And Susan Gorell is associate producer of the film and co-owner of Rel Entertainment Production Company. Hello, Susan.
Hello, Charity.
Thank you both for joining me today. And we want to hear from you as well. Why do you ride RegBry? Let us know what it is that draws you to the ride and maybe what keeps you coming back, what some of your greatest adventures on the road have been. The number to call is 866-780-9100. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk, and you can send us email at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Varda, how did you get involved in this film?
Well, I got a call from Talia Rodriguez, and she was looking for a director to direct the film. And interestingly enough, I have a personal passion for biking myself. I'm just an amateur biker, but I like to bike around town and do everything as much as I can on my bike. So when we met up, she had looked at my work and really appreciated my filmmaking, and I think when she found out that I was passionate about biking as well, that sort of topped it off. And that's how I got into the movie, making the movie.
So, Susan, I think you got involved even before Varda. How did this all come about?
About over a year ago, I guess, year before the 2009 RegBry, a gentleman who's an avid writer had knew that my husband and I were in the film industry and asked, he said, you know, he thinks that he would love to film RegBry. Is there something we could do with that? And it was interesting because before that, when we first moved back to Iowa about 8 years ago, the director, T.J. Jeskowitz, is actually a good friend of ours. And my husband had said, hey, you know, I'd love to film that RegBry. And he said, oh, give me a couple years. I'm just getting started, and then we'll talk about it. So 8 years down the road, when this gentleman approached us, we went back to TJ and said, hey, we've got somebody who would like to invest in us filming it. And he said, this is perfect timing, great, and that's where it went.
So when you first set out to film RegBry, How did you pick what people, I mean, there are a lot of people writing, what people you would follow?
When the people fill out, you know, their registration stuff, they put a little blurb about, you know, why they, what makes them interesting. And so TJ had kind of sent me all these storylines, and I just took the time to start reading through every one of them. And then you kind of narrow down from there, and you get down to about the couple hundred. And I kind of read my stories off to Varda and to Talia, the ones I really liked. And then Talia had written up an interview that everybody kind of, you'd ask certain questions. You personally call them, then you'd ask the questions and have them fill it out, and then you just kind of narrow down from there. But we knew specific people. We knew we wanted a virgin rider, somebody who's never rode before. We knew we wanted a team. We knew we wanted somebody that was extraordinary, that, you know, had some sort of, something just made them special, and then they did this ride, and then kind of an older veteran, somebody who's been on it forever, and then kind of a party person. So we had a little bit of everything.
How many people did you narrow it down to?
We ended up, you mean as far as at the end?
Well, no, before you actually started shooting, how many people did you shoot?
We started off with like about 10,000 things I went through, and then when we got down to three specific individuals and then the team, and there were some individuals in that team that we followed. So there's a core group of four or five people that we really, and then of course in the team of people we follow, and then you do find some people along. There were storylines that we knew we didn't really want to follow, but we wanted to kind of pick them up. And sometimes just when the camera crew or when Varda was out, she also came across some very interesting characters or situations and would film them, and they just worked out really well.
Varda, being a director of a documentary must be very different from directing a fictional film. So what did you do when you were out during that week?
Well, actually, there was a lot of very intense preparation. I actually came on board towards the end of May, and at that time, I didn't know anything about RAGBRAI. And so I had to catch up very quickly, and the first thing I did is post a query actually on my Facebook page, does anyone know anyone who knows anyone about RAGBRAI? And I did get some phone calls and got some incredible personal accounts, you know, insights right off the bat of people's experiences in RAGBRAI, during RAGBRAI. And then I came in and traversed the state a number of times. The first time we went across the state was in sort of a bus, the kind of bus that a music group, you know, would tour across the state. And we stopped in at all the towns that last year's RAGBRAI spent the night in, as well as towns along the way. And I would literally hop out and, you know, take pictures and talk with the local people and ask them about they've had experiences with RAGBRAI and what they anticipate. And then also explore the landscape, because I felt like the landscape itself was a big part of the experience. Once I learned a little bit more about RAGBRAI and started to clarify, you know, what I thought would be most powerful presentation of that experience, I felt like the ultimate would be is if once someone watched the film, they kind of had a taste of it, a flavor of it, like they had gone through it themselves. So towards that end, I thought it was important to sort of get to know the towns as well, because the riders and the towns and the landscape, you know, and the weather and the rides are all come together to give that experience. And in fact, right now, I don't know if Susie, if you're experiencing this, but now that RAGBRAI is about to happen, I'm actually having like this physical, visceral memory experience in my body, you know, and I really want to be there. even though it was an incredible challenge, we actually ended up really covering about 11, because I counted it out last night. We've got 11 people's stories who I think we tell pretty well during the course of the film, in addition to, you know, these other people that we pick up along the way. So we really covered a lot of ground during the shoot and really followed an extraordinary amount of people.
How did you film it? How many cameras did you have?
Well, that was the other challenge. What we did is we had three primary camera units, and I sort of determined what I thought would be the most effective way to get as much coverage as we can with that, and that is that we had one camera that was on a trailer, basically, that was being pulled on a trailer that followed one of the teams. It's called Team Gnarly. And that way we sort of even figured out in the team a hierarchy, like who we wanted to get the most footage on, you know, who we wanted to get the secondary amounts of footage on. So in Team Gnarly, we basically followed a couple, the captain of the team, and then one of the virgin riders that was on that team and a friend of the couple. And so that one camera really focused on the team. And then we had another camera that floated. You know, we sort of, what we did is we told everybody in the film that if they see a camera unit, that they should go up to them and let them know that they were in the vicinity. Because there were so many riders, it would be really hard. And we don't know, you know, you don't know when they're going to arrive when. It's all happening in real time, you know, in real life.
Right.
So, but we did have a sense, we did start to get to know, you know, these other core riders that we were following and their pacing and their kind of methodology, and we just, you know, started to sync up. So we had this other camera unit where, you know, that we sort of followed these different riders, and that camera unit was also committed to getting the interviews along the road. And then our third main camera was focused more on the towns and the landscapes and kind of the breadth, the largeness of the ride. And then what we did is we had three floating cameras that we gave riders. And those cameras, you know, two riders in particular really took those to heart, thank goodness, because they did an amazing job. And some of the more intimate footage we got, intimate being, you know, times when no one else was around.
Right, so they were really filming themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they were filming themselves, and two of the writers did an extraordinary job with that. And then we had some cameras called lipstick cameras that we mounted on some of the riders' bikes, and we alternated those. So you actually see them, you know, while they're riding, and you just kind of let the camera run, and you just, you know, it's catch what catch can. So, you know, and then the other thing is that some of us didn't sleep, basically, for 7 days.
Well, that's much like many of the riders, I'm sure. So how many hours of footage did you wind up with, Susan?
Oh, we had between 550 to 600 hours of footage.
Wow.
And I have to laugh with Varya because, you know, when she said the troubles we experienced on the road, their cell phones, none of the cell phones would work. Almost the whole trip. So we were relying on text messaging, and I was pretty much the only one could text message everybody to let them know, okay, meet here, or so-and-so's at this place, and meet them there.
Right, so that became your job almost.
Yes, it became the official text messenger.
All right. Well, we are talking about the new documentary, A Million Spokes. It was filmed on RAGBRAI last year, and it premieres on Friday night in Sioux City, Iowa, just before RAGBRAI kicks off from Sioux City on Sunday. We're talking with Susan Gorell, who's an associate producer of the film, and Varya Hardy, who is the director of the film. And we'd like to hear from you as well. If you've ridden RAGBRAI, what is it that you experienced? What keeps you coming back if you've ridden it many times? Give us a call, 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa on Iowa Public Radio.
NPR News.
This is Talk of Iowa on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're talking about the new RAGBRAI documentary, A Million Spokes. And we'll hear more from the movie trailer in just a moment, as soon as I get the thumbs up from my operator here, Dennis Reese. We're talking today with the associate producer of the film, Susan Gorell, and also the director of the film, Varya Hardy. And we'd like to hear from you as well with your RAGBRAI experiences. The number to call is 866-780-9100. 866-780-9100.
I think one of the greatest things about RAGBRAI is the group dynamics of our particular team. It's amazing how you can get such a diverse group of people together and have them get along so well.
If you run into anybody that's involved in bicycling at all, they know two things. They know the Tour de France and they know RAGBRAI.
Some come for speed.
Look at this hill.
Some come for the challenge.
We wanted to see if we were physically capable of riding our bikes across the state.
He's going 110 miles up a hill with my brake on, and I'm like, James, you have to stop. We can't all ride as fast as you.
Some just come for fun.
This is not very RAGBRAI when we haven't had a drink before 11:30. When life gets really serious, and often it does, I think of my week on RAGBRAI, and it chills me out a little bit.
Yeah, RAGBRAI!
break.
And some come to say goodbye.
My wife was from Iowa City, Iowa. A few years ago, she convinced about 8 to 10 of us to ride RAGBRAI 2007. About 5, 6, 7 months later, I lost her. So I thought, as a way to pay tribute to her, I would bring her back to Iowa.
You will be spending 7 days with people you will grow to love, and a story you'll never forget.
A few minutes from A Million Spokes, the new documentary on RAGBRAI. And with us today, we have the director of the film and an associate producer of the film, Varda Hardy, and Susan Gorell. And Tom is on the line. He has ridden RAGBRAI 7 times. Tom, you're in Iowa City. What keeps you going back to the ride?
Well, I think it's just it's about the most Iowa thing there is to do. I'm a native Iowan. I grew up in Sioux City. My father-in-law rode it first when he was about 50 years old. And he did about 10 years in a row. And a couple years into that, I had actually moved out of the state. And the first year that I had ever lived away from Iowa, I came back and rode it with him. He was about 50, and I was in my 20s. And have ridden it about every third year since then, roughly. So I'm not an every year rider. I think for me, it's special to do it about every third year. And our family has done the whole thing. We have 3 kids. And the first time we did that was in 2001, all rode together, and it was a great experience. But I think the reason I called in was to say that I think RAGBRAI is kind of the Grand Canyon of Iowa. It's kind of the number one thing that, as we've traveled around the world and have lived in different places in the world, my wife absolutely gets sick of me telling everybody about it. And then we end up getting people to come to Iowa, and it's the easiest way to really let people see what Iowa's really about.
So when you tell people all over about it, do you find that a lot of people have already heard of it?
No, not always. Sometimes, I mean, last year we were in Siberia, and we were talking to people about, you know, what is Iowa and where is it? And sometimes people not only don't know about RAGBRAI, they don't know anything about Iowa at all. Our youngest daughter actually one time wrote a personal letter to the King of Sweden to invite him to come on RAGBRAI, and she got a letter back saying his calendar was full, but thanks for the invitation.
So your kids must have enjoyed it as much as you.
Absolutely, and other extended family. I have a cousin whose son never got to spend much time in Iowa, and he came back one year and rode with us and absolutely fell in love with it. He's living in Taiwan now, and he's kind of spreading the message there.
Oh, that's great. Tom, thank you so much for your call.
Are
you riding this year?
I'm going to ride the last 2 days this year. We rode all of last year.
All right. Well, have a wonderful time.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot. And you can join our conversation as well at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk, or you can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And I want to talk, Varda and Susan, I want to talk about some of the people that you do feature in the film. So you chose to focus on a couple of first-time riders, and one of those was Chow Johnson. Tell me why she stood out to you.
Well, what stood out about Chow is she has a very, very outgoing personality. She's extremely extroverted and a very sort of gregarious sense of humor. She's just a very out there kind of person, and we thought she'd make, you know, a great subject, and she would add humor and sort of pizzazz to the piece, and in fact she did. So you know, that's the main reason that we focused on her. The other thing is that she has 2 young children, and she had said that she was going to stop breastfeeding. You know, this is the way she was going to, you know, wean off.
Oh, wow.
The breastfeeding. And we thought that would be sort of a fascinating sort of facet to her character, to her story. It turned out that wasn't as big as we thought it would be, but she was very challenged, and it was fascinating to see her. She had her husband with her, and it was a very interesting dynamic. He was a very accomplished bike rider, so it turned out to be a very rich story.
So you picked Chow sort of on the basis that she was fun and funny. Did you find that there was a lot more depth to this experience than you expected?
Absolutely. I mean, it turns, you know, what happens is when you're challenged in that way, you're both, you know, you experience all the array of emotions, really. And it turns out that there was some interesting dynamics. I don't want to say too much so people can enjoy the film, but there was some deep, I would say, dynamics going on between her and her husband, and their personal story came through as the ride went on. And so you have the experience, her personal experience of the ride, and that was very important to me in telling the story. I thought it'd be fascinating to see what the challenges and the victories of the ride were, and simultaneously I thought it was a great opportunity to discover these personal stories of the riders, and so we focused, you know, a little bit deeper than normal, and it's not really a sports documentary, it really is a story of these people taking this ride, and of Iowa.
I want to say that Varda did a fantastic job with making that come through, because, you know, when you're talking about a crew of 42 and everybody's spread all over the place, and it's a constant moving set. So normally if you're filming, you're in one, you know, your set may move, but it's been a couple days here or a week here or a month there. Not every day is something different and new, and you just don't know what to expect. And she did a phenomenal job at bringing that crew together and getting some fantastic footage. Beyond all the character stories that she created, the visuals of Iowa is just phenomenal. I mean, it's like this fantastic tourism video of Iowa, and just shows a wonderful thing of all the towns and people. So she really did a good job at making that happen.
All right, we have Reverend on the line from Des Moines. Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Very good. You've been doing RAGBRAI since 1974?
Yeah, yeah.
Every single year?
Well, I've missed a couple of years. I was taken down by a raccoon about 3 years ago, and suffered an injury. But other than that, I go almost every year, yeah.
All right. And what is it that keeps you coming back?
Oh, I love it. You know, I've been riding bikes since I was 2 years old. And there's no better way to see people than to see the state and to, you know, share a good time.
And you take a group of orphans on the ride every year?
I do. I started that, maybe 25 years ago. I think there's no better way to build character than on a bicycle. And so as the years go by, these orphans, you know, they grow up and go to school and scatter around. And so it's a good opportunity for them to come back and share their joy that, you know, the experiences that they've had with other orphans and other cyclists. It's a wonderful thing.
How old are the kids usually when you take them?
Oh, teenagers, a lot of them. You know, or younger sometimes, you know, and so, you know, I mean, they've got to demonstrate certain bicycling skills and social skills and so forth. But I've known some of these kids, 25 years or more. It's really been a rewarding experience.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for calling and sharing your story. We're talking about RAGBRAI today. We're talking about the new documentary, A Million Spokes, that was filmed on RAGBRAI last year. Varda Hardy, the director of the film, and Susan Gorell, associate producer of the film, are with me today. And we're also taking your calls. The number is 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk, or you can send email at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa on Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're talking about RAGBRAI, and we're also talking about the new RAGBRAI documentary called A Million Spokes. With me today, I have the director of the film, Varda Hardy, and also associate producer of the film, Susan Gorell. And we also have joining us right now the man who's going to be our RAGBRAI correspondent on Talk of Iowa this year. He's going to check in with us most of the days next week, at least. Jason Parkin is a meteorologist from Des Moines. He's also a RAGBRAI enthusiast. Hello, Jason.
Hi. I first of all, Charity, it's great to be back here, and look at us. We're all grown up. You're interviewing me, and we used to run the board, and here
Jason
we are.
Jason and I worked together when we were both students at Iowa State University. So
yeah.
Forever ago now.
Yeah.
So, Jason, how many RAGBRAIs have you done?
I think this will be my 10th or 11th. I have to admit, I've never done the whole thing. I could never get off enough work to pull it off, but I just love it. It's really like it's my Christmas. And I was so excited to see somebody, you know, I was along the route last year. My wife and I had just had a couple little boys, so I wasn't there for long last year. But I saw the Varda's crew, and, you know, I was so excited to see that because I used to work at a news station in town for a number of years, actually a couple of them. And at the beginning, I would say, boy, you guys really need to cover this. It's just, you know, you can't go out there and swing your arms without hitting four or five great stories from the people who are there. You know, they come from everywhere. They come from every state. They come from a number of countries. And everybody has a story that's on RAGBRAI. It's just so neat to meet all these people.
So what was it that got you hooked the first time you went, Jason?
I think, and I can still remember coming over this hill and seeing just this row of bikes out to the horizon. And I don't know what it is. Maybe you have to be a cyclist. Maybe you have to appreciate, you know, people. When you say the beauty of Iowa, people kind of scratch their heads. But when you get off the interstate, you know, it really is a pretty state. And when you're seeing it at 15, or if you're in better shape than me, 20, 25 miles an hour, you get to actually – You get to see that, and you get to stop and stop at these farmhouses and meet the nice people who live there. And I almost think it's a reaffirming experience. It just really makes you appreciate Iowa. You know, Iowa has its shortcomings, and I've lived here my whole life, and I know about those. But Iowa also has a lot of great attributes, and you get to meet all these great people who live here and host the riders and people from all over the country and all over the world as well.
Well, and you said maybe you have to be a cyclist, but there are many non-cyclists who seem to decide to ride their bikes across the state. It's really a variety of people who do it for whatever reason.
It is. And, you know, if I can do it, anybody can do it. I'm 40. I could probably eat less. And, you know, really, when it comes to getting ready for RAGBRAI, I think the biggest thing is getting your region used to the seat
and saddle, you know, hardened up.
Exactly. Once you pull that off, you know, there's plenty of places to stop and rest. And, you know, my particular group are high school and college friends. We made a stupid investment, a few of us, in a bus a few years ago. It's probably the worst investment you can make, but it's so much fun, you know, to be able to all ride together. You know, so we have a place we can stop and rest, and, certainly anybody can do it. It's not a marathon. It's not, you know, this great trek. You certainly break it up into pieces and you can pull it off.
What's the name of your team?
Team Shagbry.
All right. Very distinguished name.
Yeah, well, we're not a mature group of people. I'll put it that way. And this is, for better or worse, this is my vacation of pretty much every year. So we're there to have fun. And that's another thing. You know, it's just not only are people from all over the country and the state and the world there, you know, everybody has a different background and a different reason for being there. You've got church groups that go. You've got people that go for the parties. You've got people that are going and have they have Alcoholics Anonymous meetings posted along the route. You've got families that go. I think there's a family from Ames that has a bicycle built for three with a trailer bike, so that's four people, and behind the trailer bike, a trailer with two more people for a total of six that all go and camp. And so, you know, not only are they from different areas, they're kind of there for different reasons, and that makes it fun too.
And Jason, you are going to be our RAGBRAI correspondent most of next week because, as you mentioned, last year, last summer, you and your wife had twin boys, and so they're only a year now. So you and your wife are actually splitting most of the ride?
Yeah, it's a tag team this year, you know, just so the boys, apparently we're legally required to monitor them, so we're both not allowed to leave the house, and that's fine. You know, I think getting away and being able to have fun with your friends separate is okay, too. I think I'll get a little time to ride with her, but yeah, so Tuesday through, I think, Thursday, maybe Friday. I'll be, and I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun.
And so I think that also speaks to your level of enjoyment of RAGBRAI and your commitment to RAGBRAI that you guys are going to such great lengths to at least get to go on part of the ride. Cause if I had 1 year old twins, I don't think I would be going at all this year.
And you know, and you see people who bring their kids along, and I've seen people with, you know, toddlers in those trailers, and they camp with them, and I think they're crazy, but they do it.
And maybe that'll be next year.
Oh, I hope not. I have no desire to do that, but I, you know, hats off to them. You know, that's, I guess it's a great family experience, I guess, but it's nothing I really want to do. You know, someday when they get older, I'd love to take them along and get them outside and get them hooked on it. You know, I was looking at the ages of the people that participate. The director, T.J. Jeskowitz, is a friend of mine. And before I came down, I said, hey, can you give me a little background? So he sent me some information. And I don't know if you guys have gone over this. I was in a meeting, and I'm kind of anxious to go back and listen to the beginning of your interview here because I'm so excited about the film. But we've got Australia, Costa Rica, France, Germany, Guam, Ireland, Italy, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, the Netherlands, Norway, Poland, Sweden, Thailand, some countries in the Middle East, and the United Kingdom represented on the ride. Every state. The biggest age group percentage-wise are 50 to 54-year-olds, and there are, it says here, 0.2% of the riders over 80. And what you should remember is that these are the official numbers. There are people that don't register and, right. and who tag along as well. So just a very diverse group of people.
Well, and we want to hear why you go on RAGBRAI. The number to call is 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send us email at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Art is on the line from Dubuque. And Art, your involvement with RAGBRAI goes way back.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was on RAGBRAI 3. I live in Dubuque, and RAGBRAI 2 ended in Dubuque. And so it ended at Eagle Point Park. So my wife and I went up to Eagle Point Park to see what this was all about, and we were walking through the park among all these basically dead corpses laying out along the road. It was a very hard ride, as I heard. I wasn't on that one, but that was RAGBRAI 2, and I just looked at all those spent people, and I said, "This is for me." the next year, I was on the ride, and I think I went 5 years in a row, like RAGBRAI 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then I skipped a few years, and then I went about another 4 years. And then I went a couple more times off and on, and last time was about 5 years ago.
So you've seen it really change from being a pretty small group of people to being a giant ride.
Yeah, you know, and different things have changed. Well, one thing that you notice along the route is that just over the years, I think a lot of riders that have gone on a lot of these rides would agree that, you know, a lot of the farms have disappeared. A lot of the farmhouses that were occupied are now either abandoned or torn down. Not that you remember particular farmhouses necessarily, but just the frequency of seeing farms along the way, occupied farms. And, you know, that's just kind of a statement about what's happening to Iowa. And that's mm-hmm. that's a sad part of the story. But a lot of it hasn't changed. You know, I can't say that, you know, in a big difference between RAGBRAI 3 and the one I went on 5 years ago, that there was a big difference in, like price gouging kind of stuff. It was still possible to, you know, feed yourself pretty cheaply if you didn't feel a need to go first class on everything. And you know, you could do this. Is a very, very, it can be a very inexpensive vacation. You know, and all the accommodations and stuff. I think there's probably a little more tendency for communities to maybe charge for things that they didn't used to charge for showers and things like that. But it's still a very, very inexpensive thing to do. And before this ends, I want to be sure, because I don't think I've heard these names mentioned yet, which is just impossible to believe in this report. The founders of RAGBRAI, Don Call and John Karras, have they been mentioned yet?
We haven't talked about the history of the ride very much. Varda?
Yeah, I've been sitting here waiting to say something about that. So I'm glad you brought it up. Yeah, that was striking me as well, I have to say. Yeah, John is in the film, and we do hear him giving a personal account of how the ride started. And we got really lucky because he almost didn't make it, but he did. We happened to capture him because he joined the ride. I did have a, you know, long conversation with him before we started shooting, and I read his book. And So we do get somewhat of an account from him. We're hoping to make more of these because there is so much to cover, and this particular the approach that we took really is, as I mentioned, it's almost like you're taking the ride yourself. It's not a sort of historical or, you know, it's got like it's a very personal kind of approach to make to the film. So, you know, if we're hoping to get the opportunity to, and maybe Susie can talk about that, about doing more coverage of the ride and seeing it from different perspectives and learning more about it. So, Susie, do you want to say something about that?
Yeah, more like a kind of a documentary reality series, you know, of just, I think if you were allowed for, if this went out like a pilot and then you could come back and do a series, you would allow more time in each town for the full preparation. I mean, obviously we had to cram, you know, all these hours of footage into, you know, an hour and 40 minutes, 2 hours worth, and there's just so much more, so we'd love to spend some more time in the towns as they're preparing and, you know, and really focus on other people. So there is a lot you can do with it, and I think it would make a fantastic 8 or 13 week series. That
so
would be the goal.
What is the fate of this film? I know it's premiering in Sioux City, but when
right.
will people actually get a chance to see it elsewhere?
Right now, we are still shopping networks. It's for television, so the content, they're loving the content and the visual. You know, Hollywood goes through stages as to what they're doing and showing. So, you know, for us, time, you think 2009 needs to be 2009, but they could show it in 2010 or 2011. It, you know, there is no time limit there. And it's really going well. We got a lot of great rapport about it, and it's just a matter of landing that network.
Are you going to do any other showings across Iowa?
Right now, no. This is a special weekend, the Friday and Saturday in Sioux City. Because we're trying to work with networks, you know, we really can't just do a full-out release. But we just thought this was a great opportunity to kind of screen it and get the feeling from not only the writers, but also general people to come to be part of RAGBRAI anyway, just to see what's happening in the town and everything.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about some of the other people that you focus on in the film, because clearly, you know, we've talked a lot about people having fun and that kind of thing, but for a lot of people, it is a much deeper experience. And you profiled a man who was riding in honor of his wife who had died. Can you tell me a little bit about him?
His name is Cale Dancho, and it was very tragic, actually. His wife killed herself just a few months after the ride, and it was a sudden incident that happened. And he tells the story, you know, she had gone to New Zealand, and she had some kind of experience and quickly rushed home, and after that, you know, was depressed and was never able to pull herself out of it. And she was from Iowa and had a deep fondness for RAGBRAI. And as he mentioned, they had just ridden RAGBRAI about 5 months prior to that happening. So he felt that coming back to Iowa and bringing, and he, apparently right there, the day of her memorial, it occurred to her that he wanted to do this. So it was really, really important. So he wanted to bring back, you know, her ashes to Iowa and ride in memory of her. And he was one of the people who was very active in filming his own story. So we really do get to see, you know, the journey and the healing. And you see the healing process as there's a significant difference between the way he was in the beginning of the ride and how he was when he completed the ride. And it shows the power of RAGBRAI as a true life-affirming experience. It really is a group of people coming together to experience community, to experience the joy of life, even in the face of tragedy. And he captures that so well, his story.
Yeah. Jay is on the line from Des Moines. And Jay, you've experienced that as well.
I've never ridden it, but I worked in television for a number of years, like Jason, used to go out and meet the riders and cover it over a period of almost 15 years. And I actually think that so few of us have a quest in life, that what I saw in riders was that this was a quest. And their connection to the state and the people was almost spiritual. You could not hire a public relations firm, no matter how expensive and how many people you had, to show the state in a better light. It's people, it's land, than RAGBRAI. You know, and it is sort of like the Church of the Open Road, I think, to a lot of people. And you ask why they do it year after year, why people come back and are compelled to do it. I think it simply is the fact that it may be, for some people, as close to something devotional as they do in their life, because you do connect in so many ways and so intimately with the towns and the people and the landscape. So that's what I experienced in interviewing people and going out there year after year and seeing them do this. It was pretty incredible, the connection that people had with our state just through that ride.
Jay, thank you so much for your call. And I think, Carrie, in Cedar Falls, you are kind of going on a quest. Are you going this year?
Actually, I'm not. I'm leaving for Guatemala in a week. So I will miss it yet again. I was in Germany last summer and had to miss it. And then the year before that, I was in Okinawa. But in the past, my Uncle Tom he had done about 7 years of RAGBRAI, and two weeks before his eighth year, he suddenly passed away from a brain aneurysm, and I was in about eighth grade, so that was very hard to handle and try to figure out how to deal with. So a bunch of us family members, we got together, and we decided to go on the ride in honor of him that year, and since then, some people have continued the mission. For me, I kind of found what I needed to, and of course I was off traveling almost every summer, so I was unable to come back.
So what do you think you got out of riding RAGBRAI for your uncle?
I learned a lot about myself, how I can cope with things. I learned a lot about him that I had not known before. I mean, being so young, you have the experience of being with your family on certain occasions, but you don't really understand the full impact of how they influence your life until, unfortunately, a lot of times until something happens and they're either taken from you or you're taken away from them somehow. So I learned a lot about myself, a lot about him. I learned so much about Iowa that some people have commented on earlier, that it's just so beautiful. It's such a diverse place. I met some people from Australia, different places of the country, all over the states. It was just an amazing experience to see how diversified Iowa can be.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for your call. And before we have to go here, Jason, this is a very important question for you, and I'm sure you knew I was going to ask you. What's the weather look like for the ride this year?
I have a friend with whom I graduated from Iowa State in meteorology, who does some long-term forecasting for commodities interests, and I asked him that question. I'm kind of a nuts and bolts, what we call an operational meteorologist. So anything beyond 5 days, I don't. It's not that I don't care about it. I don't pay as much attention to it. He said next week looks a lot like this week, very hot and off and on kind of wet. So if you're riding RAGBRAI, bring your rain gear along, I would say.
Well, I have to say that you would be a fool to not do that every single
year.
Exactly. All right. Well, Jason Parkin, a meteorologist in Des Moines, he's going to be our RAGBRAI correspondent, so we'll be checking in with him next week as he rides at least most of the ride. Thanks a lot, Jason.
Oh, I'm happy to do it.
And Varda and Susan, before I let you go, when people do get a chance to see this film, and Susan, I'll let you go first, what do you want people to take away from it?
I think a lot. I think just the stories, and I want them just to really just realize how wonderful this event is, how well it's put on. The people that go are just wonderful people and fun and have a story. They just kind of let everything go at home, and they come to this, and they just a lot of camaraderie, if I say that right, and a lot of friendship and people. And it's just, I think the story itself, the movie itself, like I said, isn't just about a ride, not about bicycles. It's about the whole event itself and these people and Iowa. And I think that's a great thing to take. I hope they come. I'll tell you what, I don't like to ride bikes, and I'm kind of like Jason, the whole idea of, sitting on that little seat. But it would make me want to ride. Not that I will yet, but it would make me want to ride.
Oh, someday you got to break down.
I don't know. We'll think about it. I'm not too coordinated.
How about you, Varda? What do you want people who see the film to take away from it?
I would like them to experience the celebration of community. I do think that they'll discover that Iowa is an incredibly warm and inviting place. It's stunningly beautiful. I'd like them to see that life, to be adventurous, to be inspired, to be adventurous, to connect with other people, to see that all the different emotions, because we see so many different emotions in during this ride, that they all are part of life, and that life is a very rich experience that, you know, includes all. So it doesn't have to be one thing. Sometimes we get stuck and we think that, oh, we have to be happy all the time, or, you know, we have to succeed, we have to have this and that. And the ride is a time where everyone lets go of all those expectations and is very open and embraces whatever comes at them. And so I hope that people are inspired to kind of let go a little bit and appreciate all the different moments in their lives.
All right. Varda Hardy, thank you so much. Varda Hardy is the director of the new documentary on RAGBRAI, A Million Spokes. We also talked with Susan Gorell, associate producer of the film and co-owner of REL Entertainment Production Company. And thank you very much for your calls today. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese. Our executive producer is Jeff Schmidt. Production assistance today from Rosalind Sixby. You can send us email anytime if there's something you'd like to hear on the show or someone you know who has a great story to tell. Send us email at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tomorrow on Talk of Iowa, it's Politics Day. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.